John Molinaro, Sportsnet, joining us. Don't, if you've got the answer, don't give it out because we're giving away tickets.
Okay.
Who's the second most, do you know who the second most capped player the Canadian men's team would be?
I do, yeah.
History? Okay, well, screw you then, Molinaro. That's, did you know without looking?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I don't know where to go with that.
Sorry.
That's all right. Hey, what does it say to you? You know, we just talked to Alphonso Davies a little bit. Well, I was going to say man of few words, but he's a 17-year-old of few words, so keep that in mind. But look, you followed this program an awful lot. You know, and we sit there and we say, well, they got 6 teenagers in the team, and everybody goes, oh, okay, that's great, 6 teenagers. But when you look at where these guys are playing, where they're playing their club competition, that's a pretty decent group of six, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and, you know, Davies is going to be going off to Bayern in January, which is, you know, a big plus. And even if he gets loaned out to another Bundesliga team or second division team in Germany, that's still big. So, you know, I think the fact that you have so many promising youngsters within the Canadian program who are playing and training at, you know, prominent European teams, that's only going to be... you know, have great knock-on effects for the Canadian national team because these players are honing their skills at some of the best clubs in the world. So that's bound to have, you know, positive effects for the national team. So, you know, and I think it's great. And that's on top of guys like Atiba Hutchinson, who plays for Besiktas, mm-hmm. you know, a regular player in, you know, European competition, and Scott Arfield, who's playing at the top level in Scotland, and you know, many others are playing across Europe. So, you know, I think it's an encouraging sign that so many Canadian players are, you know, playing abroad because I think that's, you know, really where they get sort of the best competition and how they really get to hone their skills at the top level.
I'm intrigued about Balu Tabla, who has committed his international career to Canada. I think he did it last month. He has not yet played for Canada. He's at FC Barcelona's FC Barcelona's B team. He's with FC Barcelona B as a midfielder. What can you tell us about him? And explain the whole concept of the Barcelona B team, because I'm sure people out there are going to go, the B team, what does that necessarily mean?
Yeah, so I'll answer the first question first. So much like sort of Alphonso Davies, he's a young, sort of dynamic attacking player, the likes of which that historically Canada doesn't produce. You know, very good attacking player, fearless. You know, talking to John Herdman last week about him, he really was high on Balu's sort of soccer IQ, saying he's a very smart player and that he's starting to develop to become a, you know, a more of a two-way player. So obviously offensive minded, but helping out on the defensive side as well. And he's, you know, learning that at Barcelona B. So I think that's, you know, going to be a good thing for Canada as well. The reserve team, it's not unusual for teams in Spain and Italy, France, to have with essentially, think of it as like their farm team. And they're not playing in La Liga. They're playing in, you know, the third division, Barcelona B. And it's a regular league. And this is where sort of all the young prospects go to sort of really cut their teeth and gain some experience. And eventually they graduate to the senior team. So the hope is that after maybe a year or two or three or whatever, Balu will get some seasoning. And the hope is that, you know, he'll eventually, you know, make Barcelona's first team, or, you know, he does well, but they have too many options on the senior team. They sell him to another club and he can, you know, go from there. So it's a way for teams, big teams in Europe, to really sort of develop young players before committing any sort of serious, you know, senior team resources to them.
John, beyond, you know, beyond results, beyond the number of goals scored, what tells you that the Canadian men's team is making tangible advances? You know, when you watch the game against Dominica, whether it's 4-0, 5-0, 7, whatever, what tells you from game to game that this team is sort of going along the path John Herdman wants it to go along?
I think when you clearly see a tactical identity, you know, John's vision of what he preaches and what he talks about, which is, you know, playing aggressive and sort of not being passive or reacting, but sort of setting the tone and making the other team react to you and kind of going out for it. And at the same time, being sort of, you don't want to be reckless at the back. You want to be responsible. But it's obvious that John sort of wants to go for it, and he wants his team to set the tone and really, you know, put the other team on the back foot. So I think as you see that more and more, that's sort of how you sort of judge this team. That's the barometer by which, you know, you say, yes, they're sort of making improvements and they're getting it. I think that's sort of what you should go by.
I want to shift focus a little bit to the Canadian women's program, a 12-0 win over Cuba. Of course, the program John Herdman ran and has moved on from. I'm going to ask you the same question. You know, goals keep going in and everything. If you're Kenneth Heiner-Muller, what are you looking for? What are you looking for out of this Women's World Cup qualifying? Obviously, you want to qualify, but what are you looking for from the way the games are being played?
Well, again, I think sort of a tactical identity, but I think, you know, what was interesting about the game yesterday was that, you know, he made, I think, 7 lineup changes, and you know, he threw on some youngsters on there and sort of players who didn't play in the previous game against Jamaica. So, you know, I get the impression from talking to him, you know, earlier in the week that, you know, he really sort of wants to show off Canada's depth and give and sort of expand the pool. Because mm-hmm. obviously players like Christine Sinclair and Diana Matheson and Sophie Schmidt, they still have plenty of gas left in the tank, even though they're in the 30s. But they are the wrong side of 30. And I think he's starting to look ahead, and he wants to give these sort of younger players, you know, a chance to really sort of become ingrained in the national team program. And I think it's critical that they get minutes, and not just minutes in friendlies on home soil, but minutes in competitive games like the CONCACAF Women's Championship that's going on right now. I think this is, you know, sort of the next step for expanding the player pool, you know, creating more players that you can sort of rely on in important games. And, you know, it just sort of gives him other options ahead of, you know, next summer's FIFA World Cup in France, assuming they qualify, which, you know, I have every confidence that they will.